Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's Glenn in for John. You know, in an era where we need more and more priests, and maybe we're not cranking them out of seminary as fast as we need them to fill all the spots, and not just to be a priest replacement by any means, but the role of deacon is maybe more needed and important than ever. We're going to talk about that today. Father James Kubicki comes to us from the shadow of Mount Rushmore. Well, maybe not quite that close, but he serves the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Father Kubicki, always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Glenn. Good to be with you today. Yes, we're going to talk about deacons and the role of deacons in the church and maybe our own experience of deacons. And the reason we're doing that today, Glenn, is because it's the feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch. Not to be confused with St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was the founder of my religious order, the Jesuits, but he was a bishop in the early church. He was martyred in Rome in the year 107. And, you know, as we talk about him, we can keep in mind our brothers and sisters in Syria suffering these days from war that has broken out there, because Bishop Ignatius was a bishop in Syria, and he was arrested when the church was persecuted. And as he traveled to Rome, where he was to be martyred in the amphitheater, he wrote seven letters to churches around the Roman world, Rome itself, but some other churches in Greece and in Asia Minor. And these seven letters have become somewhat famous. In fact, our recently canonized St. John Henry Newman said that in those seven letters, we have the whole system of Catholic doctrine, at least in outline form. And one of those aspects of Catholic doctrine is that the sacrament of orders has, well, you could say three levels, I guess, is one way of speaking about it. You have the deacons, permanent deacons, you have priests, and then you have bishops. And so before a person is ordained a bishop, they have to be ordained a deacon and a priest. But in the early church, St. Ignatius said that you really can't talk about the existence of a local church if one of those three orders of the priesthood are missing. And so the diaconate was very important to St. Ignatius. He saw them as really the right hand of the bishops. But for many centuries, the permanent diaconate went into, let's say, kind of hibernation, where it really wasn't used. And I guess the excuse at one point was, well, they still had diaconate because in cases like my own, I was a deacon for about 9 months before I was ordained a priest. So I was what was called a transitional deacon. And so we've always had the diaconate as part of the church, but it was only after the Second Vatican Council that we started having permanent deacons. These are people who are ordained, but are also considered a bridge, as it were, to the lay state. And so they're married and can have families, and they perform a particular role of service. They're meant not just to be replacements, not to be replacements for priests, because they cannot celebrate Mass or hear confessions or celebrate the anointing of the sick. They can baptize and witness marriages, but they're not meant to be substitutes for priests, even with a clergy shortage. They're meant to be a symbol, a sign at the altar of the church's role of service. So many of their roles of service in dioceses and in parishes include reaching out to members of our community who are sick, visiting those who are in prison, basically doing works of mercy that remind the church that this too is an important part of preaching the gospel. It's preaching by words. So I'm kind of curious today, Glenn, if any of our permanent deacons are listening, and if they would like to tell us a little bit about their experience of being a deacon. Or maybe we have some wives of deacons, and they're an important part of the role of a deacon as well. So maybe they would like to share their experience. Or maybe you are in a parish where you have permanent deacons and like to hear the experience of parishioners in our various churches around the country, if they have a permanent deacon, and what their experience has been, how have they found the deacons in their parish helpful to the life of that parish. So maybe we could open up the lines and hear our listeners talk about their experience of deacons.
We'd love to do that, Father Kubicki, at 888-914-9149. Let's hear from you, deacons. And it, you mentioned the role of a wife of a deacon being very important as well. And as marriage is a vocation, it turns out basically kind of approval of the wife for a deacon to do that job is necessary.
That's right. You know, I used to work, this is years ago, from 1989 to 1995, I was here in the Diocese of Rapid City, where I'm now stationed. I worked at a different place, and I worked with the Deacon Lay Ministry Formation Program in the diocese. And we required the wives of the deacon candidates to go through the same course and to learn what the deacons were learning and to be then commissioned as lay ministers in the church. And they played a great role of support for their husbands, but also played an important role within the parish and within their families. So, again, deacons' wives are not kind of afterthoughts. They're an essential part, especially because in marriage we believe the two become one flesh. And so the wives of deacons certainly share in the ministry of deacons and are also, therefore, it's important for them to support their husbands in the formation process.
Father Kubicki, going to the phones. We always love to hear from Deacon Martin in Gary, Indiana. Good morning, Deacon. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Father Kubicki. Good to talk to you again. Your last comment about deacons' wives, they're foundational to the process because without the deacons' wives, there would be no deacons because they have to give us away twice. First, they give us away to go and study. Then they have to give us away so we can be ordained. So nobody can overlook the role of a deacon's wife. And the deacons become the hidden treasure of the church because people don't really understand what we're supposed to be doing because we've only been around for the last 50 years, and most people didn't grow up with deacons. And so they don't always know what the value of the deacon and how the deacon can come to support them, bring in a loved one, viaticum, caring for the sick and the homebound. Scripturally, we have a very strong charge of to care for widows and orphans, sick in the homebound, and those that are in prison. That's what we were ordained to do. Not to, if we're working at the altar, as Pope Francis said, we're doing the wrong thing. My work as a deacon is outside the four walls of the church.
Well said, Deacon. Well said. Because, you know, again, sometimes people think, well, you're just sort of like baby priests, and they see you maybe preaching or doing things on the altar. And you know, part of that ministry of the altar is to bring to mind to the whole assembly the importance of service. But it's the real service, as you said, that goes on is out there beyond the four walls of the church. And again, the wife's support is so important in that. Hey, and we're praying. I just want you to know, too, Deacon, we're praying for you because your bishop, Bishop Hine, went to Madison, Wisconsin, and so you're without a bishop right now. And so we're praying for you as we're praying here in Rapid City because we're without a bishop as well, praying for the Holy Spirit to guide that process of choosing new bishops for Gary, Indiana, and also for us here in Rapid City. You are waiting for a bishop, aren't you, Deacon?
Yes, we are, and I can reciprocate, and I can add Rapid City to my prayers because I didn't know you all were waiting for a bishop, but I will make sure that's known to some people who often ask. And I mean, the process can take a while, and people think it's going to happen right away, and they say, no, it's going to be a while, but we'll be all right. Church has provisions for that. This isn't the first time it's been through this. But
you're
it's,
right.
It's interesting. It's very interesting perspective to be, position to be in within the church to have an administrator. And I mean, I've talked with our administrator, and I understand some of his powers and stuff like that. I have a canon law book, so I've kind of read it, but I'm not a canon lawyer, so I won't quote canon law. But you know, it's a very interesting position to be in, much the same as with Pope Francis and Pope Benedict. When Pope Benedict resigned, people saw a facet of the church that we didn't even know existed.
Right, right. Well said. And thanks for your call, Deacon.
Thanks for calling, Deacon Martin. Always good to hear from you as well. Father Kubicki, maybe outline a little bit some of those superpowers that a deacon does have. They can't do everything a priest can do, but they can do some pretty important things that we might not remember.
Right. Well, one of the most important is preaching the word. You know, they are ordained to preach, and so to be able to preach on Sundays, they do have that. There's some controversy and debate over that, how often they should preach and such, but they do have the role of preaching. But then in terms of sacraments, they often help out with sacramental preparation and to celebrate the baptism of new, well, children or newly converted Christians who've become Catholic. They can celebrate the reception of them into the church and their baptism. They can also, it's very important, you know, visiting the sick and bringing Holy Communion to them. So they do have the role because part of the steps or stages to being ordained a deacon involve being commissioned as a lector to read the Word of God in the assembly, and then also to be acolytes, to serve at the altar in that way. And that makes them Eucharistic ministers as well. So we have them baptizing and also witnessing marriages. It's kind of a confusing thing. Many people think that the ordained minister is the one who gives the sacrament of matrimony to the couple, but the couple gives that sacrament to each other, and the deacon or priest are there simply witnesses of that and have the church's approval to then certify that this was a sacramental marriage that was enacted there. So those are a couple of the roles, the other roles that deacons have that maybe our listeners are not familiar with.
Father Kubicki, back to the phones at 888-914-9149. Rory in Kyle, Texas, loves his deacon. Go ahead, Rory.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. So this is the first time I've ever called, and I'm kind of excited to call in, but I just wanted to share, we have a permanent deacon, and he was there, he's been there for a lot of things. He was there for RCIA, he led our RCIA class, and, you know, led our class, and as I kind of went through that, that whole process, and became confirmed in the Catholic Church, he was there whenever he was the witness for my wife and I when we got married, and then he was there for the baptism of my children, and he's always been so knowledgeable, so faithful, just such a role model, I think, to our church. And, you know, we're just so absolutely blessed to have him as a full-time deacon there.
Wow. And do you have one deacon in the parish, or are there a couple, or is he the only one?
There's a couple. But in terms of, yeah, my interactions, I mean, it's mostly been with Deacon Jeff, and just amazing just what he's able to, just the knowledge that he has, and what he brings to the church, and then when he does kind of helps with the sermons and things, it's just awesome. It's just amazing to have someone there, you know, available to talk to. And like I said, he's been there for so many things for me personally, for my family. I just can't thank him enough for what he's done for us.
And what's his name so we can give a shout out to him, Rory?
Deacon Jeff.
Deacon Jeff. Okay. Well, shout out to him. Thank you for your vocation, Deacon. Thank you for calling in, Rory. It's always good to have the parishioners tell us about their experience of deacons and experience of good parish life. So thank you.
All right. A new caller, Rory. Look forward to hearing from you again as well. One of the attributes of deacons is patience, and we're going to call upon that for Deacon Mark to just hang on through this quick break. Back with more as we talk about the role of deacons as we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio. It's Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Glenn in for John, continuing our conversation with Father James Kubicki, serving on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, talking about the role of deacons today. And Father Kubicki, we go to the phones. Lexington, Kentucky finds Deacon Mark for us this morning. Go ahead, Deacon.
Good morning, and God bless. I've been a deacon for 3 years, ordained, 3 years ordained in 2016, and I'm assigned to we are a mission diocese, and I'm assigned to two mission parishes. Both of them have about 45 registered families, so that's a different experience from what a lot of folks are in. And I was just going to say, I think in my experience, we're all called to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ. And so wherever a deacon serves, they're called to do that, and each parish's need is different. So in my case, you know, in one of my parishes, I'm essentially the music minister because there wasn't, we lost our organist for a while. We didn't have anybody, but I have those gifts. So that's one of the things that I do there. Hadn't had any representation on the local ministerial association. So our new pastor and I are trying to do that in both of our counties and kind of get to know those folks and build bridges with other Christian brothers and sisters, you know, in the communities, and leading some parish Bible studies, hopefully here soon, which hasn't been offered in a while. So, you know, trying to identify what's needed and fill those gaps, and then hopefully train some of the lay people in the parish to take those things all over and then move on to other things, you know. So, because, you know, things that the lay people can do, they should do, I think, you know, to, as much as possible. And they also are called to be going outside the walls of the church, but the church equips them and sends them out. So deacons can help with identifying what's needed in a particular parish to help equip the saints and send them out. So, you know, there's a great variety to what deacons can and should do, and that depends on the needs of each particular parish. I guess I'd leave it there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Deacon Mark. That's a great reminder that, you know, the role of a deacon is service, and so wherever the needs are in a given parish or mission parish, to meet those needs may call forth any number of things depending on the gifts of the deacon, as you mentioned. But I also like what you said, that you're there. I think of it as kind of a bridge between the pastor and the people, and to call forth the gifts of the people. As you said, you know, we're all called to be involved in the church in different ways and to help build up the body of Christ. And so to be able to maybe be in closer touch with the parishioners to recognize their gifts and to call them forth, that's a great role that deacons have as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deacon Mark, for your good service there. We go to Miami. Jason is on the line at 888-914-9149 as we talk the role of deacons with Father James Kubicki. Jason, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm in RCIA. I just turned on the radio and heard the topic, and I had a question about female deacons in the early, very early church. I heard there was an article in Biblical Archaeology Review suggesting there was female deacons based on some ivory artifacts, and I didn't know if you were familiar with that or if you could at least talk about the subject for me.
Okay, Jason, thank you. That's a great question, and because it has been a kind of a controversial topic lately in the church. I have not read that article you're referring to, but I know that Pope Francis had initiated a conversation with different theologians to investigate, you know, what was present in the early church. Were there female deacons? Because the name shows up with women's names being connected with the diaconate ministry and being called deaconesses. And so there's a question, were they ordained? And I think the conclusion was, we don't know. It seems it's not for certain that they were actually ordained. What I understand is that there was a need for women to assist in the baptisms of women who were being baptized, because, as you know, in the early church, it was often full immersion baptism. And so after the person was baptized, then they were dressed in a white garment. And for modesty's sake, they wouldn't have men dressing the women in a white garment having just been baptized. And so there was, it seems, a role for women in the baptismal rite. And so some people think that there were female deacons, and others say, no, there's no definitive proof of that. But it seems that there was a role for women in the baptismal rite to help in that dressing of the newly baptized women who came up out of the font. So It's up in the air. The commission that the Holy Father instituted did not come up with a definitive conclusion about this, and so it's still an open for discussion and investigation. So thanks for that question, though, Jason. And we ask God's blessings upon you as you go through this RCIA program.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thanks, Jason. And again, blessings on entering the church there at some point with RCIA. Father Kubicki, would there be inherent problems with women serving as deacons?
Well, that's, you know, since we're talking about St. Ignatius and the three orders, there is that question in people's minds that if women are ordained to the diaconate, then what is to stop them from being ordained to the priesthood or to be bishops, because the three order, there are three, let's say, aspects or levels of the sacrament of orders. And so I guess in a certain sense, if it were shown that there were women who were ordained deacons in the early church, then that would open up the question of, well, you know, if the diaconate is one of the three levels of ordination, how about the others then? Could those be open to women as well? So it's a hot topic in many places these days, especially in the Western world.
And as far as deacons in general, I imagine we're always on the lookout for more, huh?
Yeah, I think, you know, it depends. It's so many times there's that desire to have more deacons because people are saying, well, there aren't enough priests, and so we need deacons to run parishes. And that may not necessarily be their particular gift. They're not meant to be substitute priests, but they are ordained in their own right to serve the church in different ways, especially as Deacon Martin said at the beginning of our show, they reach out to the forgotten. They go outside the four walls of the church. So they're not meant to be substitutes. But definitely the church, I think a healthy church, as St. Ignatius Antioch said, is one that has all three of those orders, and that a healthy church will have a healthy diaconate where they stand at the altar reminding us of Jesus Christ, the servant, and they also are able to reach out and be the church's presence in places where the church needs to be but cannot be because of a lack of ordained ministers to reach out to those in prison and other places.
Father, just a quick 30 seconds left, but in the same way we're invited by vocations directors to kind of keep an eye out for young men that might be a great priest someday, ought we all be looking out for those who might be a good deacon?
We should always be recognizing the gifts God gives in one another and encouraging one another. Sometimes we are too reluctant to do that. So definitely, Glenn, if you observe some gifts in young men, please encourage them to consider the priesthood.
Well, very good, and thanks always for sharing your gifts with us, Father James Kubicki, coming to us from the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in beautiful South Dakota. Patrick Madrid coming up next, answering all sorts of your questions as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.